Today we're going to continue our journey through the Acts of the Apostles to see how the message of God's resurrection power is tangible wherever the Christian community is. Last week, as I mentioned to the children, we talked about the disciples receiving the promise of the Holy Spirit from Jesus, and Jesus was good for Jesus' promise because within 10 days of his promise, they were in Jerusalem gathered and the Holy Spirit came upon them in remarkable, amazing ways. But we're going to save that story for our celebration of Pentecost, our celebration of the arrival of the Holy Spirit, drawing the Christian community deeper and deeper into faith and into God's work in the world for Pentecost, which is 50 days from Easter. So we'll come back to catch that story, but you need to keep in mind that as we meet John and Peter on their way to the temple today, they've already had that empowerment from the Holy Spirit, and I truly believe that the Holy Spirit living and working in God's community changes everything. So from Acts chapter 3, here God's word. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and a man lame from birth was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This week, somebody posted on Facebook a message that said, "Act in such a manner that you are living proof of a loving God." I loved it. Act in such a manner that you are living proof of a loving God. And what I love about this story of the man that John and Peter encounter at the gate of the temple. See, he's at the gate of the temple. He can't even go in. He's an outsider. He's not part of the community. But what's so beautiful is that he gives such a full body reaction to God's grace in his life. And I love that phrase, walking and leaping and praising God. And I wish I lived my life like that, walking and leaping and praising God everywhere I went, so that I'd start the kind of buzz that he started when people saw him doing that at the temple. We're looking at these stories of the early church to learn something about what it is to be Christian community together, what it is to live out our faith as witnesses to the one who gives us all life and life in abundance. And I think that this story does a particularly good job of laying out some really concrete stuff for us to hang on to about what it is to be Christian witnesses. Because if you're like me and somebody says, "We ought to be doing a little more witnessing," you're like, What's witnessing all about? So I want to give you some alliteration to help you remember some of the points that I think are so clear in the story. And I love peas, Pastor Pam. So you get four P's today. I'm going to talk about how perception, perceiving, is part of our Christian walk that kind of starts things in motion. And then I'm going to talk about prayer as the vehicle that we can use to put wheels under what we perceive in an individual, in our community, and how when we start to do that, praise is a natural result. And praising God for the goodness, for the blessings that we receive and that others will receive through our holding them in prayer, lead to the fourth P, proclamation, the sharing of the gospel, of the good news. Proclamation is how the word gets out. We are witnesses and we share what we see. So if you notice at the beginning of the story, Peter and John are doing what they ordinarily always did, and it's another P that I'll talk about on another occasion. They're practicing their faith. They're practicing their faith by showing up at the temple for the time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Luke writes that very concretely so that we get a sense that they are still practicing Jews. But they show up at the temple, and they have a purpose. Like most of us on Sunday mornings, if you're like me, when I'm not preaching, it's like, holy buckets, it's time for church. I'm running late and I'm running in the door. And if somebody were outside the door asking for something, I wouldn't even look because I had a place that I was supposed to be. So I totally would ignore the person. And maybe you would too. Or maybe I would get irritated that they were blocking my way. Get out of my way. I'm trying to get to church. Or maybe I would see the cup on the sidewalk and I'd throw a coin in without ever even making eye contact with the person who was asking to discharge my duty and get where I was going. Well, if you look at Peter and John, they don't do any of those things. They let the man stop them in their tracks. They don't give him money as a matter of course to discharge their duty. They engage with the man. They fully perceive him. They see him in his entirety. And in their perceiving, some things start to happen. They get an awareness of his story. He was just being left there. So they probably saw the family, and they got a sense of the family dynamics. They see him outside of the temple, and they know he is shut out of participating in praise and worship of God because of his disability. They see that he's left here to beg for himself, that he has no way of sustaining life without support from others. Perceiving brought them into his story. They couldn't stay on the outside of it. Once they saw him, it became more familiar to them. As soon as they know his story, they pray. Their prayer is so fast, you practically miss that it's a prayer, but they pray in the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk. And that's how we pray most of the time, isn't it? We pray, we end our prayers with, in Jesus' name we pray, or in the name of Jesus, amen. We pray in the name of Jesus because Jesus brings power to our prayers beyond our human capacity. When we pray in the name of Jesus, it's calling on the power of our almighty world-creating God to come into this situation with some power to help that we don't have. That's what we can do. That's what we can offer, a prayer, because when we pray, regardless of the outcome, when we pray, we bless the people for whom we pray because we're bringing them into contact with a powerful and a powerfully loving God. So I love the image that when we pray, here's me praying for this one I may know or I may not know. I'm praying and that's connecting me to God. Well, God is connecting to this one and that connects us all in a new way that's steeped in spiritual richness. So prayer brings us into connection. And then the man responds in such an amazing way. His first response is praise of God. As he tries on this new body, he gives God thanks for what's happened to him. And his praise is what starts the proclamation buzzing, that people see him and they're like, oh my gosh, did you see that guy? He was the lame one, right? Look at him now. And the story starts to spread. That's what witnessing is. It's simply telling what we have seen, telling what we have heard, telling what we've experienced, and the news spreads. So it seems so simple, right? Perceive, pray, praise, proclaim. And it's not an ancient story. Just this past Sunday, this story played out right out there in our atrium. I was standing closest to the nearest table, to the coffee table, having a cup of coffee. And all of a sudden, Georgine Rogers, I think she was getting ready to leave, kind of packing up from her table, stood up and she said, Pastor Pam, hello. And then she said, have you ever met Erica Folsom? She's proclaiming now. Have you ever met Erica Folsom? I'm like, well, as a matter of fact, I have. Erica Folsom's one of our new members. I got to spend some time with her in our new member class not very long ago. She's like, Erica Folsom is amazing. I'm like, well, yeah, but why is Erica Folsom so amazing to you? She's like, she told us her whole story. She told us her whole story. And then Myron came up beside her. I introduced them to Ken, whom they hadn't met before. And Myron says to Ken and me, everybody at Redeemer needs to hear her story. And he also said, everybody needs to hear Georgine's story too. But I want you to meet Erica Folsom this morning. And so I have invited her to meet you. Thank you so much, Erica, for letting me put you on the spot like this. This is Erica Folsom. Pleased to make your acquaintance. Yes, you guys recognize it takes a lot of courage to stand up here. Erica comes to Redeemer. I said she's one of our most recent new members. She comes to us by way of Denver, Colorado. And you'll notice as soon as she starts speaking that she comes to us from Germany. Before that, so welcome to you, Erica. And I have to tell you that when Georgine, well, I'll let you tell the story. So last Sunday morning, you met Myron and Georgine Rogers for the first time ever, right?
Yes, I never met her. We've met them before.
And I think it started out as a pretty simple encounter. You just wanted a place to sit down with your coffee, right? So tell us the story from there.
Okay, I looked around and there was a place and I asked if I could sit down and they said, of course, and she commented on my smile and wondered why I was so happy. And so we talked and after a while I said, well, actually I have a reason why I smile. And so she wanted to know more, and I said, well, I consider myself a walking miracle. And then she really wanted to know more. So you want me to tell the story?
Yes. So you just celebrated an anniversary of sorts, and that's part of the miracle, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I just, well, no, I'm going to tell that later.
Okay, I'll let you come back.
Okay. Between the year from 2010 to 2011, my company changed insurances, and that's very important because of the plan of the Lord. And so in February of 2011, I ran out of my medicine, and I called my former doctor and asked if she could give me a prescription, and I would be in May for my regular physical. And she declined. She said, I haven't seen you for so long, you have to come in. And I really got angry that I had to make a co-payment for a prescription. I thought that was terrible. So I said, okay, then booked me for a physical. And that's the only reason I went in March for the physical. And the next day, they called me and they wanted me to come back to the office. And I was told I had cancer of the uterus. And so my doctor couldn't deal with it, and she sent me to a specialist. And I was told there that my cancer was very dangerous, very aggressive, and there was only a 5% survival. So I had two operations, and they really were not bad. And I was kind of, I kind of didn't believe it. I just absolutely could not believe it. And I had my operations, and then the chemo started on my birthday. What a day to start. And during chemo, that was a total different story. That's where my friends came in. First of all, they drove me back and forth to and from the chemo, and they prayed for me. And I knew when they were praying. I really did know when they were praying. And they gave their time. I remember one girl took me to the botanical garden, and I would take about 10 steps, and I had to sit down, and she just walked with me slowly, and it was wonderful to be in the botanical garden and look around. And I remember another story that they knew that milkshake really helped me with my nausea and not feeling good. And one morning I woke up at 5:30 in the morning, and I heard that there, somebody was in the house. And well, she came up and she said, "I forgot to give you your milkshake yesterday." And 5:30 in the morning, she brought me my milkshake. It was really something else. And you know, I had up and downs, and I usually felt really good right after the shot from the chemo. But then the effects started to come, and I sometimes was very, very weak. And I remember the time when I got stuck in the bathtub and didn't have the strength to crawl out. And they were praying for me, and they were lifting me up, and they were cheering me up, and they spent time with me. And then I remember when the chemo stopped, I was allowed to travel, and I came to Minnesota to visit my daughter. And in the airport, I was sitting there, and of course I didn't have any hair, and I was wearing a hat. And a woman stepped out of line and came over, and she said, "Are you in chemo?" And I said, "Well, I'm just done with it." And she said, "God bless you." And that just struck me. It just was, it felt so good. It felt so warm that somebody strange, you know, came out to say that to me, to encourage me. So I don't know. What else do you want to know? Oh, I just was told after 5 years that I am cancer-free. And I still have some side effects from the chemo, and I guess I will have them probably for the rest of my life, but maybe not. You know, the miracles do happen. And I remember two Bible verses. One was when I was really discouraged at night, that really came to me, and it said, "Be still and know I'm God." And that really encouraged me. And then another one I have known a little longer, and that is, the Lord says, "I have a plan for you, and it's for good and not for evil, so you may have a future and a hope." Now, I know God didn't give me cancer, but he surrounded me with people who helped me through it and blessed me and just kept me going, and he did that. Also, remember the plan the Lord has for you. I always said, you know, make your own plan and you make the Lord laugh. But when you think about, if the insurance wasn't changed with my company, I would have just gone in and gotten a refill. And if I would have gone in May, like it was planned, to For the physical, they told me I would have been dead by then. So here I am. I'm still living, and I'm living with my daughter and my grandchildren, and of course their dad. And they keep me young and happy and alive.
Thanks be to God for that. Would you thank God and thank you, Erica? If you see Erica around, you will see that smile always. I don't know that I've ever seen Erica without that beautiful smile. And that's what started the whole conversation, was how she presented herself just on an average, ordinary day. And it started a conversation so she could tell her story and God could be praised. God works through remarkable but simple means like that for us to be witnesses to the glorious power of God's Spirit in our lives. Would you pray with me, please? God, we thank you for Erica's remarkable recovery and the incredible news that she's celebrating with 5 years being cancer-free. And we thank you for the contagious joy that just flows through her. It is truly infectious. Help each of us to respond to your presence in our lives with a deepening of our perception of others, a broadening of our prayer lives to include more people who just need your tender, loving attention, a lifting up of our hearts and our voices to give you praise, and a widening of the proclamation of your story to catch others up in the good news that your Spirit brings wherever it blows. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.